Opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
So it's officially a three-ring circus, or maybe a two-ringer. Either way, Kirby's full of clowns. Maybe bigger ones than NFL refs. Let's jump right in. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on. For Tuesday, welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Degenerates975, and at Jongy Football. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And it's a Tuesday, which usually means it's a Troll Tuesday because you guys are always in a bad mood. But, man, it's a beautiful day outside. Try to be in a good mood today. Although, with that clown show of a football team that you've got over there at NRG Stadium, I don't know. What's going on, Mr. Hoffman?
Sports and stuff, man. I guess we can say, good job. Yeah, they at least... They at least made a move that they should be making, and
there is that.
The funny
but
part
the
is
way
though,
they did it.
Yeah, the last thing you want is for news to come out that Rick Smith vetoed the coach getting rid of a guy who's clearly a problem. And I, by the way, apologies in advance if Ryan Mallett's grandma is listening today. I don't want to upset the poor woman, but that kid was a mess. And
yeah.
He's not good enough on the field to make up for him being such a pain in the ass off the field. And it's very simple. We say that all the time.
But we say kid, but he's been in the league for 5 years now.
Yeah, he's a grown-ass man.
There's no excuse for that. And
he's 27 years old.
Yeah. This is where you're supposed to have grown up and been able to be a professional, and he never did. They gave him every opportunity to win that job. And all he did was pout when he didn't. And you had to make that move. The bigger issue, though, is how this came about. And the fact that Rick Smith overruled him. And then that story got leaked that Rick Smith overruled him. Because I was watching John McClain's chat on Cron.com today. And he said, well, it's not uncommon for people to have disagreements at work. Well, it is uncommon for one of them to leak it to the media. That's what happened.
Yeah.
And... now, the implication is that, well, that's, the team was distracted and wasn't ready to play. This is where people start making excuses for each other. And, I wanted to get rid of him, and Rick didn't. And, by the way, I don't know that I disagree with Rick Smith on this, because do you really want to go into a game that you need to win with no backup quarterback if Brian Hoyer, who, by the way, gets hurt a lot,
yeah,
gets injured? And I just think it's... yeah, it's just a mess. And now this is what happens when a team starts really sucking. You start leaking stuff like this, it makes it look like the GM's fault. GM makes it look like the coach's fault. Owner's pissed off, and he wants answers. It's a clown show now.
It really is.
And who knows how this ends, but does it end with Bill O'Brien getting to be Chip Kelly and having complete control now? There was a... Dustin Ashwood.
There's nothing that we're seeing in Philadelphia that would make you think that's a good idea.
Dustin saying, should we really take Brian T. Smith's story at face value? I don't know why so many people are actually questioning it. No one has at any point denied it.
I don't know Brian T. Smith, and that dude may be a total liar for all I know. But I feel like if he were lying, the Texans would have sent out something basically refuting that statement.
Well, and the fact that Ryan Mallett's gone today kind of backs up the story,
right?
Does it not? And, yeah, I've had some conversations with some people over there, and I have no reason to believe that it's not true. And if that's the case, and here's something else, and this is from Bill O'Brien's mouth himself. And I had this quote yesterday, and it struck me as odd, and I don't like to be the guy that pulls out something in print without hearing it, but it makes perfect sense in retrospect. The whole thing where I'm the leader of the ship, mm-hmm. He says, it's my job. What you see on the field is a reflection of the coaching. And so when we come in here and we don't play the way I expect us to play, I look in the mirror. I think we've got players that know how to play the game. And he goes on with, I have a lot of respect for the guys in the locker room. Not one guy in there quit. We disputed that yesterday. So I'm the leader of the team that you see on the field. I'm not the leader of the organization. I'm the leader of the team you see on the field. And when we don't play the way that I see we need to play, then that's on me. Why would you even say I'm not the leader of the organization?
I don't know.
That was the thing that it stood out to me yesterday when I saw it. And then when that story broke after the show, it's like, man, I wish I'd brought that up yesterday.
Right.
Because that's the first indication that there's some kind of friction going on. Because you don't say that. There's no reason for you to say, I'm not the leader of the organization.
The only word I have for this is it's chaos.
Yeah.
And this is kind of the problem with where more and more you're seeing coaches who have more say over what goes on, like what the roster is, and GM's jobs are more and more murky. You know what I mean? And that's obviously the case here, and has been for a while, because Rick Smith pointed every bad draft choice at Gary Kubiak on his way out the door. So it's difficult now to know who's responsible for what. But when stuff like this happens and everybody's pointing the finger at each other and everybody's getting tugged and one guy says yes, one guy says no, it really makes you look like a garbage franchise. And I think that this is a franchise that, I mean, obviously it's I don't even want to call it an expansion franchise anymore because it's been so long, but it's the newest franchise in the NFL. But they are very Raider-like, you know, and we sit around here and we make fun of these franchises that are just in complete disarray. I think this is one of those. This is like this is way more, and I know that all the hirings and the coaching staff and things like that are supposed to make this like New England. And before that, it was supposed to be Denver. You know, it's supposed to be Denver East and New England West. And it's way more Oakland or Cleveland than it is Denver or New England.
You know what I wish they would do? Because it's been proven that you can't copy the New England model.
No.
Get somebody in here out of Seattle, or get somebody in here out of Green Bay. Organizations that, especially with what Seattle's done over the last few years, what Green Bay has done consistently year in and year out, go get me somebody in one of those front offices and bring that guy in. Let's quit trying to copy things that were based on one guy.
Right. Now, Dustin says, I'll clarify to the degree that Billy wanted him cut before the game and Richard trumped him. I guess in their situation, you don't want to go into a game with one active quarterback. And, you know, if Brian Hoyer gets hurt, Shane Leckler, is that what we're going with?
Yeah, in a game that you really needed.
Right.
You really needed that game.
So I understand, but I think, and this is why he didn't show, why he didn't, you know, get in there in the second half, Ryan Mallett was there as an emergency quarterback. Like,
yeah.
Unless Brian Hoyer caught on fire and died on the field.
Boy, what are the ratings would have been for that?
Oh, that would have been crazy. I mean, that's
God,
the only
Sports Center would have blown up.
That's the only way to get people interested in a 41-0 game. But unless that happened, Ryan Mallett wasn't getting into that game.
No.
So I don't doubt that that conversation took place. That I bet on the team flight, O'Brien is saying, I want this a-hole off my team. I don't want him around anymore. And again, sorry, Ryan Mallett's grandma, if you heard that. That's my assumed words of Bill O'Brien, not my words.
I'm guessing there were a few other words in there too,
but
which we'd have to bleep out.
If you're a head coach and you're one of your quarterbacks misses the team flight and you've already dealt with nonsense with him before, yeah, you probably want that guy gone, you know, because if there is one thing I've noticed about O'Brien that is relatively New Englandish, and it may be the only thing, it's that he doesn't seem to have much patience for bull stuff. Hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he gets pissed, and I don't know that – maybe it's all fake. Maybe he's just a you know, a table pounder, and he's not serious. But I get the feeling that when that flight takes off and Ryan Mallett's on it, Bill O'Brien's the kind of guy who says, I don't want this guy. I don't right. want anything to do with him. And Rick Smith says, well, listen, we're not cutting a guy, you know, right before the game starts. It's just not happening. I could see that conversation happening. I mean, that's a sensible conversation. You can imagine that, right?
Yeah.
Rick and Bill going, I don't want this guy even in a uniform on Sunday. And Rick saying, well, listen, man, we don't have anybody else. We don't have an option. We'll take care of it on Monday. I could see that.
Yeah. And I think that's probably the right way to go. And I'm guessing O'Brien didn't react very well to that because, I mean, he's certainly doesn't appear to be the most relaxed right. and stable guy in
but
the world.
But I mean, if I'm Bill O'Brien, I also have to take a step back and say, yeah, you know what? It makes sense. You know, that because if Brian Hoyer gets smashed the first play of the game and he's dead, we don't want to play four quarters of football with Shane Leckler or running the Wildcat with Chris Polk. You know what I mean? That's not ideal for an NFL franchise.
Right.
Not that Ryan Mallett's ideal to have out there in that situation either. But
actually, the best thing for him would have been in that second half when the game was over, put his ass out there, and if his offensive linemen don't want to block for him, let him learn a lesson the hard way.
Well, especially in a 41-0
game. Yeah, it's not like it matters at that point. If you really want to teach a guy a lesson, then you cut him after he's gotten his ass beat up all over the field.
But I do believe that O'Brien, as soon as wheels went up, he said, F that guy.
Yeah.
I'm done. I am done with him.
Well, you saw his reaction on Hard Knocks when the guy didn't show up.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was just as bad.
And he wanted to have the knee-jerk, get this guy off my team, take away his jersey reaction. And Rick Smith
said,
which
is a nice college reaction, by the way.
It really is. But Rick Smith, well, by the way, Ryan Mallett's acting like a college kid.
Well, you know, I think he's acting like a high school kid.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ryan's grandmother.
But Rick Smith, I think it's sensible, and maybe he's trying to talk some sense into Bill O'Brien. I could see that struggle happening. So I don't doubt that part of the story, man.
Yeah, but the fact that, well, and again, I go back to that quote now. So, okay, why would you say that? And then why would you, because that story had to be leaked from O'Brien himself or Gotsi or somebody really close.
Yeah.
And you're only doing that to cover your own ass and make it look like, hey, this is what I wanted to do, and this is why things didn't go well Sunday. And now you've got the beginnings of, you know, obviously the beginnings of a power struggle between a bad head coach and a bad GM. And it's going to end badly because that's what happens when you put two of those things together.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if, you know, anything's going to be done by the end of this season. We discussed this all day yesterday. I think something does have to happen. I think that Rick Smith should be done here, and I think that Bill O'Brien should be put on notice.
Yeah,
and
it's the same thing I wrote Sunday after the game, and I'm standing by that right now. And I still think that changes should have been made at the coordinator positions, because as crappy as this season has been, when I look at who the Colts have to play their next three games, if you make immediate changes and get immediate results, then you know what? You might salvage a friggin' 7-9 division, which, hey, that might not be the best thing long term, but it's better than being 2-14.
Normally, I would say, you know, with the idea that O'Brien could get fired, I would say don't fire Romeo Crennel because he's been a head coach before, so
he needs somebody.
He's a good interim coach. But I also believe that Bill O'Brien shouldn't be fired until the end of the season.
No, he should be given to the end of the year.
So,
he should be given these next 10 games to clean this mess up.
I would say fire Rick Smith
games.
Now and tell not just Bill O'Brien, tell the entire staff, you are all on notice. And if this doesn't look like a much better product than it is right now, by the end of week 17, all of you are leaving together. You're all going to get a big, fat Christmas gift full of cardboard boxes and tape. That's what you're going to get. And, I think that they should all...
Go do reality TV, Bill, because you're good at that.
Yeah, but they should all realize that this isn't acceptable. And Rick Smith, there's been enough failures attached to him. There's enough question marks around him, and there's not enough things that you can say about the guy that warrant keeping him. There's not enough pros to overcome. Even if half the cons that you could list aren't his fault, if they're on Kubiak or Bill O'Brien or whoever, let's say half of them are, there's still not enough pros to warrant keeping the guy around. He's been here through too many bad things. Nobody else would survive that.
Well, we got a lot more to get to, and we will take your phone calls on this, and we will. I want to dive into some of the O'Brien stuff a little more when we come back.
Guys, fall is here. The holidays are right around the corner, and I've got a bunch of people coming over for the holidays. I'm sure a lot of you do too. If your carpets, rugs, and upholstery, are they ready for the busy season? Are they ready to have company over? Host with confidence by having clean floors. Put your trust in DFC Interior Cleaning. It's Houston's leading home cleaning experts. I've used DFC for a long time. I trust what they do. They did my house in Austin. They did my house here in Houston. They do fantastic work, and they leave the floors looking like new. They're Houston's leading carpet cleaning professionals. They don't use soap. They don't leave any chemical residues, which can damage your carpet fibers, and it can be harmful for you or your kids or your pets. It's a non-toxic patented pre-spray along with super water with their truck-powered equipment, and that technology is really what sets them apart. Once the stains are gone, they don't come back, and it's not just carpet. They do any kind of flooring you can imagine. They'll do your couches. They'll do your upholstery in your car if you want them to. They'll do the air ducts. They'll do your couch. Whatever you need done, they can do it at DFC. They now have Sunday service available, so give them a call. Get it started now. You call now, you get a family four-pack to the Texas Renaissance Festival with any purchase, and you'll come home to a clean house. That's always a good feeling. Call 281-347-8373, 281-347-8373, or visit them online at dirtfreecarpet.com for 24-hour scheduling and additional specials. That's 281-347-8373 for DFC Interior Cleaning.
ESPN. 97.5. Texas Iowa State College Football, 6 p.m. Saturday on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz, 713-780-ESPN. Jose says that guy said he wanted to talk about O'Brien cutting mallet to save his job. He never said anything about Savage. So I'm going to give the intern the benefit of the doubt that
I'm not.
Dude was being a troll.
Who's interning today?
So we'll just let you know. Jose. We do have your phone numbers whenever you do that. So we'll just put them on a list and you never get on the show again. So that'll be the intern's job. So if you call and say you're going to talk about something and then they're like, I think Texas should go get Case Keenum, then boom, we're going to write your number down. And the next time you call in, you're never getting on the show again. So
thoughts and prayers.
If you're on hold right now thinking you're going to pull something like that, now would be a good time to drop off, unless you just don't ever want to come on again, which I'm fine with. All right, let's try Esteban. What's up, Esteban?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, now.
So, you hit the nail right on the head when they were talking about, trying to put Savage in. It's like, sorry, not this year. But, the whole thing with, Mal, it does seem like it's a good move right now. You got to show the team that you're not going to put up with slackness and stuff like that, and you're going to be able to you want to do the whole team building thing. As far as getting TJ Yates, it's like a Band-Aid for for the rest of our season right now, but. If we can't win in the AFC South as bad as we're doing, as bad as the AFC South is doing, that's when you need to start thinking forward in the draft and potentially who's out there. A lot of people said Goff from Cal.
All right, let me jump in here because a couple of things. First off, as far as TJ Yates is concerned, it's a backup quarterback. You hope he doesn't see the field.
Yeah.
That you sign him because you've decided Hoyer's your guy. He's has some familiarity with the system. He's available. And there's no point in keeping Mallett because obviously all the off-field stuff has become a distraction. And he's also become – it's obvious the guy can't play.
Right.
So as far as the draft goes, it's all going to be the same names we've already talked about. So
Although Paxton Lynch, man,
Paxton Lynch is the one guy that I might keep an eye on, and I like him. I like his size. I like the fact that he's got some mobility to him. He throws a nice ball. What I haven't seen out of him, and I didn't see it against Ole Miss because Ole Miss's defense was a wreck, is I have not seen him under duress at all.
And then you find out that the reason why he's at Memphis is because he got injured during his senior year of high school, and a lot of the big schools that were in on him basically pulled their offers.
Which happens.
Yeah. So they got the guys. I mean, if Paxton Lynch were playing at, you know, Michigan right now, we'd all be drooling on ourselves. But he plays at Memphis because he got hurt, and clearly he's healthy now. He is, I'll say, of the guys that are in the conversation, Goff, Cook, Cardale Jones, Hackenberg. That's probably about it that you'd consider early, right?
You gotta.
I don't want
Christian Hackenberg. Yeah, is that not just the perfect?
Lynch is he's the first one that really intrigues me.
I would not be surprised if he makes a Blake Bortles like move up the board.
Yeah,
because he's a guy who's made his team better this year significantly, and I think I want to see how he fares when he actually gets some pressure, how he reacts to it. Because I've seen four Memphis games this year, and every single one of them he's got all day to throw. And a lot of times it's first receiver. He's not just locked in on the first receiver, which I like, but most of his plays, the first guy's open, and that's who he's throwing to. But I need to see a little more of him, but I like what I've seen so far. And, okay, that was a nice way of trying to disguise a long, rambling phone call as a draft question. Let's I'm not going to rule out having draft conversation after what happened Sunday. But let's get to the point, okay? This is, I know we got a lot of new listeners, but this is the Blitz. It's not the Cover 2. It's not the whatever defense Romeo Crennel was running Sunday. It's the Blitz. So get your thought in quickly. Get your point. That way we get more people on. Let's try Reggie. Go, Reggie.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Man, these guys, the fans are just as comical as the Texans are. And I'm a true Texan fan, but they are truly making me ashamed. And just like when I called you guys, when they won that first game, I said, if people think that they're going to turn this thing around, they have another thing coming. And I asked you and Fred and AJ, what do you think the season's going to be like? Because I said two games. I think Fred said six and AJ said maybe six or seven. And I'll hang up and listen, but this is getting comical, man. I'm ashamed. I can put it just like that. I am truly, truly ashamed to be a Texas fan. And I'll hang up and listen.
I was thinking six at most, but I think that's the ceiling now. I really do. You've got two more games against the Jags at home again. You've got to go to Tennessee. And you got Tennessee at home. I mean, that's three wins right there, theoretically. I think they'll lose one of those, but then they'll probably beat somebody they shouldn't at some point. They've got enough talent on this team to upset somebody. But it's what's really frightening to me is the unraveling, not just Sunday, but against the Falcons. You know, and I got to tell you, losing the game at home to the Colts was just as bad. With Matt Hasselbeck, and you couldn't stop those guys, and all those 90-year-old guys they have out there that everybody else has shut down all year, and your vaunted defense couldn't do anything against them, that loss was almost as bad. And that's what concerns me, is because you lose games like that, you can lose to anybody on your schedule and everybody on your schedule.
By the way, Ryan Mallett, who's never been like a tweeting guy, apparently tweeted out today, got on Twitter long enough to tweet out, and I don't know if this is even him. It's not a verified account. I think it's him, though. I just know he's never used it. But he tweeted out basically a screenshot that just says, extremely disappointed by the news today. Didn't see things going this way 2 months ago, but I will keep my faith strong. I accept full responsibility for my actions this year, and I know I will grow from this. I have absolutely nothing but great words for Coach OB, Mr. Smith, and the entire Texans organization. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. To my teammates, I will miss you all. Also want to say thank you to all the fans who supported us each week, and I'm sorry I let you down.
Yeah, his agent wrote that for him. Well done. That yeah, that's have you heard that guy talk? That doesn't sound like Ryan Mallett. It's not even close. So, oh well. We'll get some more phone calls, and a lot of you guys want to weigh in, so we'll blast through as many as we can next segment. But right now I want to tell you about my good friends, Houston Can Cars for Kids. And this has been great because I have a lot of people tell me that they've donated their vehicles. And if you've got one that's sitting around that you're not using, you were going to work on it, it was a project you were going to do, why not donate it to Houston Can Academy? Their Cars for Kids program is changing lives. The Houston Can Academy is really cool. It's one of those places where if a kid has dropped out of school, this gives them a second chance. And a lot of times it couldn't be helped. You know, they had family problems or they had to go to work to support their own family and they had to drop out of high school. Well, guess what? They go to Houston Can Academy, they get a second chance, they work around their schedule, and every day they change people's lives. And the Can Academies, they provide all kinds of stuff for them. Glasses to read, transportation. You know, if they're hungry, they even provide a warm, wholesome meal. So they help these kids get through, get their degrees, and move on. And they go on to change lives. And that's incredible what they're doing over there. And you can help. All you have to do is donate that vehicle that you're not using. It's and your donations are really, really needed right now. They're going to tow your vehicle away absolutely free of charge. Your donation is tax deductible. And if you donate today, you're going to receive a $50 Visa gift card. If you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, it's just their way of saying thank you, a $50 gift card. And all you're doing is getting rid of that piece of junk that's sitting in your yard. They'll come take care of it. They'll even fill out the paperwork. They'll do everything. All you got to do is give them a call. 713-225-4226. That's 713-225-4226. Or you can go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Make sure you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz and you want to help by donating that vehicle. And remember, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Well, I'm the leader of the ship, Brian. You know, it's my job. What you see on the field is a reflection of the coaching. And so when we come in here and we don't play like the way that I expect us to play, I look in the mirror. I think we've got players in there that know how to play the game. I have a lot of respect for the guys in the locker room. Not one guy in there quit. So I'm the leader of the team that you see on the field. I'm not the leader of the organization. I'm the leader of the team you see on the field. And when we don't play that the way that I see that we need to play, then that's on me.
Not the leader of the organization. I wish I'd brought that up yesterday because it was one of those things I had on the list to talk about. And I'm like, man, I hope I'm not reading too much into one line. But that's clearly not something you're going to say. There's no reason to say that unless you're taking a veiled shot at somebody.
Yeah.
And somebody brought up how Seattle's Gus Bradley doing in Jacksonville, and somebody brought up Joe Philbin. I guess I should clarify. I'm talking about front office, man. I want somebody from those organizations in the front office. Not Denver, which worked on one system. Not any of the New England guys because it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't work because you don't have Bill Belichick and you don't have Tom Brady. And all those guys have basically gravy trained off of them. Let's try a couple phone calls. Roy, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, sports guys, and happy Troll Tuesday.
Sports to you.
All right. I was just saying, and the way, you know, the way Hoyer's playing and with the release of Mal, let's just go ahead and start Savage the rest of the season. I'm going to go ahead and listen.
Oh, my God. Here we go again. Really?
Remember?
Really? All right. I'm okay.
Did the interns not screen that call?
Yeah, seriously. Come on, intern. When you ask that question, if you don't know that Tom Savage is on IR and out for the year, you're not doing your job out there. All right, for the, I don't know, 478,000th time, Tom Savage is on IR. He is not eligible to come back this season. Please don't ever call with that crap again. All right, it can't get any worse than this, can it? Let's try Josh. Go, Josh.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're doing sports.
I was going to say, I think that the Ryan Mallett cutting him was like kind of like a scapegoat, I guess, you know. But, I mean, the season's not over with. It's a long season. But I do realize now that we're not a good team anymore. I think we're like an average team.
An average team?
Yeah.
No. Average teams go 3-4, 4-3 through seven games.
Yeah, we still got J.J. Watt and Hopkins, you know.
Okay. Well, you've got two good players. There's two good players on damn near every team in the NFL. No, this isn't an average team. This is average teams don't go down 41-0 in games. It doesn't happen.
Twice. It doesn't happen twice.
I mean, this is an embarrassingly bad team, and I don't think that Ryan Mallett is a scapegoat because Ryan Mallett being fired doesn't make you feel better about the organization. It makes you feel like it's more of a mess than you thought it was 48 hours ago, if that's possible.
They did what they should have done with him.
Yeah. But, I mean, the fact that you're having to cut your backup quarterback because he can't make it to the team plane, it is a clown show. It is a total clown show. And, no, this team is not – it's not average.
And
it's not. You know who's average? Buffalo's average. You know who's average? And this is going to make you feel really bad. Miami's average. That's an average football team. They're not great. They're not garbage. They're average. San Diego, that's an average football team. You know, there's a lot of average teams. The Texans aren't one of them. They're not.
It's just masked by the fact that they're in a division with three teams that are below average, too.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. And the Colts shouldn't be below average, but they are. 713-780-ESP is your number.
The Colts, maybe they're average.
Maybe.
Maybe. They're 3-4. The Colts, that's average.
Boy, they got a good chance to be 3-7, though. Did you look at their next
three games? Yeah, it ain't getting easier for them. It ain't getting easier. And that's why.
And how long do you think Pagano will last if they, in this next three games, if they lose all three of them? How many of those games?
There's
is
no
he
point
coaching?
In keeping him. There's no point in keeping him beyond that because you're getting rid of the guy at the end of the year anyway. You know, early in the season, their first two losses were at Buffalo and to the Jets. And I was like, you know what? They started 0-2. They played two pretty good teams. You know, we thought Buffalo was a lot better early in the season than what they are.
Well, and they were starting EJ Manuel that game too.
Yeah,
they got better when they made a quarterback change. Which happens.
Then they beat the Titans, Jags, and Texans, so they win their division games. Which, you know, clearly they're the best team in the division. That's not saying much, but they're the best team in the division. Then they lose to the Patriots. So you could argue they beat three junky teams and they lost to three good teams, but then they lost to the Saints. And while that game ended up getting close, that's a game at home against a team that you should just be better than. They're not.
The EJ Manuel thing, I thought you were talking about the Texans last year when they were going.
No, I'm talking about
the Colts this
year.
Yeah, that's my bad. Just clarifying.
Like, I thought the Colts were, you know, maybe they were just losing to good teams and beating bad teams.
Which is what they've kind of done the last few years.
But then they lost to a bad team at home in the Saints. They're average. They're not good. But they're not Texans, you know, Titans bad. That's a bad team. Average are the teams that can beat teams like that. Average is such a Kubiak Texans word. That's last year. Last year the Texans were average.
Yeah, they were an average team last year.
This is not average.
Schneid says, as a Cowboys fan, I keep hearing Texans fans saying we have the same record and they're the same team. Dallas is way better. First off, neither one of you are any good. That's not – and why you guys keep going back and forth on who's better?
Yeah.
At least you have a reason for being bad this year. Your quarterback's gone. And a franchise quarterback and your best receiver have been out. That's why you're not good. So you've got that to look forward to. But why Texans fan and Dallas fan continues to sit here and say, oh, this team – neither one of you are any good. What the hell? The only difference is there's a reason why your team is bad. You got injuries.
Yeah. But, I mean, well, who's comparing?
Yeah, stop.
Who's comparing those teams?
Just
why?
You know what? If your Facebook friends are doing that, just get the hell off of Facebook because it's dumb.
If you're a Texans fan and you're worried about what the Cowboys are doing, or you're a Cowboys fan and you're worried about what the Texans are doing, stop it.
That's when you know you're a fan of a really bad team is when you're trying to tear down everybody else.
No.
Shame.
You're all bad. I will say, at least the Cowboys have a reason. They have an excuse.
Well, yeah,
to be bad.
They have an excuse for and you know what? They're not getting blown out, even with backup quarterbacks in. They're not giving up 41 points. So yeah, if you really want to make the argument of who's the worst out of the two teams that suck, it's clearly the Texans. And the Cowboys have an excuse, but what does that really matter?
I don't know. I don't know if that's making you feel better about yourself. you're saying you're better than the Texans.
That's, you know who's better than the Texans and they have a worse record? It's the Ravens.
Yeah. The Ravens are in line for the first pick in the draft. They're better than the Texans for sure.
Yeah.
I felt bad for them last night. They could have won that game. They got some bad breaks.
They did, although, and we'll talk about some of the calls were terrible, and they did affect the game. But I have to say, that was just a poorly officiated game all the way around. On two of the Ravens' drives, they held every single play right in front of the ref, and they were grabbing face masks and everything else, and not a single holding call.
No.
So, I mean, it was just a poorly officiated game. The higher profile ones certainly went against the Ravens. But I wound up pushing that game, which really piss me off because
I lost, so
I had Cardinals -8. Yep. And okay, this is kind of stupid. We were playing that Monday Night Football bingo at Front Porch. I needed 2-point conversion to get a bingo, so I also knew if they got the 2-point conversion, it's a push, which I had a lot more money on that.
Yeah,
so it was kind of hey, great, I won a cool shirt that I'm wearing today. Yeah, and I lost $200. Wonderful. Okay. All right, quick break. Get some blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock him in.
Lock him in. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. And we will grab a bunch of phone calls here. But first, got to ask you, are you a fan of Texas sports and great vodka? Then make the MVP Vodka signing event at Specs Friday. Vince Young, Roy Williams, TJ Ford, and BJ Johnson will be autographing bottles of MVP Vodka at the downtown Specs store from 4 until 6. Make sure to grab some for your Halloween concoctions Friday at Specs on Smith Street. Specs, cheers to savings.
Who's going
to
be there?
Vince Young, Roy Williams, TJ Ford, and BJ Johnson.
Nice.
That's a pretty good collection there. We're going to be on the air. Damn. That's my Specs, too. Love that Specs. Just real quick on Paxton Lynch. The one thing I do like about him, and I saw most of his games that he played last year. He's one of those guys that's gotten better every year in terms of, not just numbers, but fewer interceptions.
Yeah.
And this year he's had 17 touchdowns and one pick, which is just through the roof. But I think the real test will come. And they get Tulane this week, which isn't a test. But then they've got Navy, Houston, and Temple, and at Temple, and that's when those are the games I really want to. I know he's going to face some pretty good defenses. He's going to get some pressure from those teams, and I want to see how he reacts. And but I do think that's the kid that I'm kind of intrigued by. But one of the reasons why draft talk is so kind of silly, A, we don't know where they're going to pick. And is there anything in this organization that has led you to believe they'd pick the right quarterback? No matter what? No matter who we like?
No.
Because there's two guys sitting here who tried to give you – one tried to give you Teddy Bridgewater, the other one tried to give you Derek Carr. Would you not at least be a little bit better off if you had that? And I don't want to put Sunday's game on Brian Hoyer because not all of that was on him. I mean, that whole thing was a disaster. But not dealing with the quarterback position has been another reason to – just another clown show that this organization has become. All right, let's try Hector.
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 How's it going, sports?
Sports to you.
All right. I think Bob McNair and his son or family, whoever, really run this show and just use Rick Smith as what Barry Warner would call the Teflon Don, so he wouldn't get any, bullets headed his way, just like he doesn't want to look like the meddling owner like Jerry Jones does. So that's my take. What do y'all think?
I don't think that's the case. But I do think McNair is a lot more involved and has been since the whole Gary Kubiak fiasco. And I think that's why I'm surprised they're being as patient right now with the coaching staff is what they're. And I'm not talking about Bill O'Brien. And if you missed yesterday's show, I don't think that's a move they would make right now, and nor should they. But as far as a guy like Romeo Crennel, demoting George Gotze, those are moves that I wouldn't have been shocked if they'd happened yesterday. And I think they may happen this season if they lose to the Titans. I think it goes even farther.
Yeah.
At that point, I wouldn't be shocked if anything happened because I don't think that they're going to be that patient. Let's see. Let's try five star.
What's up, guys?
Sports.
What's up, guys? Sports.
Sports to you.
Okay. Hey, guys, a long-time listener, as you know, talk to you guys frequently on Twitter. You know, I go to Vegas a lot, man, and I just want you to know, don't worry about the week you had. A lot of people had a bad week, man. This was what you call a house week, man. No one won this week. There was a lot of bad picks this week. It was a tricky week on NFL and college. But getting to my point, I know we're not talking draft talk because it really doesn't matter, like you said, because it's not like the Texans are going to do what anybody thinks is sensible anyway. But just on the quarterback aspect, Paxton Lynch, he came from a high school that ran. I do quarterbacks. I coach quarterbacks in the spring. I have a camp that I do with Haywood Jeffries. And what Paxton Lynch came from a high school that ran the wing T offense. So he's a great development player. He's been developing great. But in my eyes, the best quarterback coming out is Jared Goff. And the reason why is because if you watch the competition that he plays every week in and week out at Pac-12, he always has a messy pocket. And that guy climbs the pocket. He takes hits. He stands and then he makes the throws. I'll sit back and listen. You guys have a good one.
He's also never taken a snap under center.
Yeah,
which is what I continue to say is my biggest knock on the guy.
Those guys coming out of that system,
it's like a project. You're taking on a project.
Yeah, you're hoping that he can. And a lot of guys can, and some guys can't. But for the most part, I like his skill set, and I've had a chance to watch a lot of games with him this year, and there's a lot of positives to that kid, and I think he's got a chance to be really good. But you know, it's just like Derek Carr coming out of the system he came out of. Yeah, there are questions, and Derek Carr played one good defense and looked horrible.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean Derek Carr is going to turn out to be a quarterback, but everything else was kind of there that you wanted to see. And you know, I love how you and everyone else at ESPN are way too high on Bridgewater. I don't understand why y'all insist on saying how good he looks when he's not even average. He's certainly not in the top 20 quarterbacks in the league.
That's fine. He's still better than what the Texans have.
And you know what? How's that team doing with him at quarterback?
They're doing all right.
Is he not better than Christian Ponder?
Yeah.
You don't think they feel pretty good about their quarterback position right now?
I don't think they feel like it's a problem.
No.
You know, I feel like they've got a guy who is in his second year and is still developing, and that they haven't seen enough negative out of to think that they just need to throw him out.
Who's fairly polished, just like Derek Carr. Fairly polished.
I mean, listen, Derek Carr, Teddy Bridgewater, these guys aren't Joe Montana. But they're showing some promise. And that's something that the Texans don't have, is someone who's showing some promise.
No. And like I said, quarterback wasn't the only issue. I don't think you guys should be that focused on that today, because he certainly didn't play well, but he wasn't
the worst player on the field.
No, he wasn't the one dropping passes. Garrett Graham, CJ Useless Fedorowicz.
Man, tight end is just a disaster. And I know that's not... It's not a position you think of as high on the priority list. But
except you use them a lot, and they're wide open all the time. They can't catch the damn ball. They give the ball to the other team.
I wonder why they're wide open all the time.
I would not cover.
Defenses are saying, I dare you to throw it to these guys.
I'm sure if I was Dan Campbell, went to his defensive coordinator and said, hey, anytime one of those big stiffs out there is on the field, just let them go.
Yeah.
There's no reason to cover them. They can't catch the ball.
We're going
to
double DeAndre Hopkins all day. All right, who are we leaving? A tight end. Okay. All right. Might as well run a fullback out there every play instead of those guys. It's a waste.
Oh, well.
All right, guys. If you're a little beat up or you've hurt yourselves, you need to know about my friends over at the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. It's part of the UT Physicians Group. They've been recognized for their academic and medical achievements. The doctors there have developed reputations for being accomplished and progressive, and they're dedicated to giving you the best orthopedic care possible. They've even developed systems to ensure the wait time to see a doctor is minimal. That's the worst part of going to the doctor, sitting in that waiting room. They've got three easily accessible locations, Katy, Sugarland, and Richmond. They've all got free parking right out in front of the building, and they've got 20 physicians that encompass a wide range of specialties, including orthopedic and musculoskeletal, sports medicine, pediatric orthopedic, spine, hand, wrist, and elbow, foot and ankle, and pain management. Give them a call today, 281-344-1715, or visit rbjc.com, where you'll learn more about the doctors. You can schedule your appointment online, and a physician referral may not be necessary, depending on your insurance. Give us a call to find out, 281-344-1715. For the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic.
So I thank you. From the bottom of my American heart, I pray you make it home.
This is The Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5.